Good afternoon. I'd like to call to order the Technical Advisory Committee meeting today. Today is May 7th, and if you'll be, just a reminder, if you'll be motioning, please clearly identify yourselves and your municipality you're with to help so we can hear at the recording. The first item today is the call to order, determination of a quorum.
We do have a quorum.
Thank you, Mr. Baker. Moving on to item two, the minutes from March 19th. This does, attachment 2A, this does require a motion.
Hadley, so moves.
Second, Collins.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you. Moving on to item three, staff report. Mr. Baker.
All right, thank you. Attachment 3A is our financial progress report. We currently spend about 55% of the budget, so we're in good shape. We are starting our new payment data is underway and collections going, so we're going to start sending out those checks soon to TMG, who was selected for that contract. So we should be in very good shape for the end of the fiscal year.
Any questions for Mr. Baker? It does require a motion.
Motion for the Sheriff Griffin.
Holding, second.
Thank you. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Item B, Mr. Stewart.
Thank you. Well, hello, everyone. So, a few items today. So, C Streets for All notice of funding opportunity was released. If you're not already aware, applications are due May 26th. This is the fifth and final round, believe it or not, unless that program ends up getting continued. Just wanted to mention that. We're also continuing to track transportation bill reauthorization. That's right around the corner. September of 2026, believe it or not, is when IIJA expires. So don't really have any substantive information yet, but some themes are kind of continuing to percolate in the stuff Curtis and I are reading. There's always a lot of conversation about the unsustainability of the federal gas tax and like switching to user fees and other funding mechanisms. I've been hearing about this kind of stuff my entire career, so it's kind of like I'll believe it when I see it, but that is something that has been talked about a lot in the last few months. But what I'm hearing a lot is streamlining the bill to core functions, so fewer grant programs, simplification of those programs, more of a focus on roads and bridges, perhaps, and there seems to be a little bit less appetite for non-vehicular modes of transportation. So we'll see if that pans out, but that's kind of where a lot of that conversation's going. Also read some stuff recently that, you know, maybe more of a focus on decision-making and control at the state and local levels. So that could be promising. I think we'll know a lot more as the summer progresses. It's also entirely possible that what we'll see is continuing resolution. That's kind of what's happened in the past. You know, the bill expires, and with midterms coming up, we may see that just get continued on. It may be hard to pass a new transportation fund. So we'll probably know a lot more in the coming months. Couple upcoming projects this summer, things that we're just starting to get started on. So annual report on roadway congestion, our public participation plan, these are things that we're going to be really getting started in earnest here in the next few months. Our road diet report, which Matt Mullen is going to talk about in a few minutes. And then the last thing I want to mention is our bike map update. So who would have guessed that in 2026 that a printed bike map would be so popular, but to my surprise, it has been very popular, which is a great thing. So we are at the point where the map that we released in late 2024, we're ready to have a new batch of printing them. So we want to make sure that everything is up to date. There has been a lot that has been built just in the last year and a half, and we want to make sure that we're accounting for everything. So what we're looking for is any bicycle infrastructure that was either built in 2025 or is being built right now. We're looking for anything that will be finished this year. So anything that's like part of a two-year project that's not going to be open until 2027, We're going to kind of hold off on that. That'll be the next batch after this that we'll add to the map. So we've kind of started compiling a list of everything we're aware of, but I recognize there probably are a few things that aren't on this list, a few bike lanes, maybe even a couple shared use paths that we're not aware of. So if you think of anything in your communities that's not on this list, please let me know, either grab me after the meeting or shoot me an email. We just want to make sure this is as accurate as possible. So that's all I have, but I'm happy to answer any questions. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Stewart. Next would be item C, AMMAT's federal funds report. Ms. Prater.
Thank you. So here we are in the fourth quarter. We're almost done with this fiscal year. We did receive a $2.8 million loan from NOACA to cover the rest of the SDBG projects that are funded for this year. Only a few projects have not been officially awarded, but we definitely have the money to cover all of those projects. So if you read down through the memo, one change is there's actually only one CMAQ project that has not encumbered yet. It's not been awarded yet, so it's definitely not been encumbered yet. And also, at the very bottom, in the very last paragraph, we have an extra attachment this month that is transit-based. And this is a new federal requirement that the transit agencies need to produce their programs of projects. So if you look at these are their programs of projects, and these are just presented at CIC, and these are open for public involvement. So some good news is I've already looked at 2027 projects, and we are already starting to ramp up to start 2027. So that's very positive news. Anyone have any questions? Okay. Also, the next project review meeting for everyone's projects, June 17th will be District 3's project review meeting, and June 18th will be District 4's project review meeting. So you guys should already have it on your calendars. I think I already have a safety date out there. As it gets closer, I will send agendas. So. All right. Any questions?
Thank you. Seeing no old business this afternoon, we'll move right into new business. Item A, Mr. Mullen.
All right, thank you. All right, so we are in the process of producing an area-wide road diet report. So this road diet report will be structured a lot like the roundabout report that we produced last year, especially the pre- and post-structured crash report. Well, I know all of you know what a road diet is, but for the uninitiated, road diets are a repurposing of a roadway to reduce the number of travel lanes in each direction. Typically, as you can see here, there's a four-lane road reduced to a three-lane road, one in each direction with a shared turn lane if we have some roads, bike lanes on the side. So this is used to calm traffic, which reduces speeds, which can cause a reduction in the overall number of crashes, which therefore, group safety here. So the forthcoming report will build upon a road diet analysis that we completed in 2015. The previous report introduced a methodology for identifying potential candidates for road diets across the region. We broke those segments down into tiers based on traffic volumes. In total, we identified 60 roadway segments listed in that report. So in 2023, we reviewed those 60 segments, try to ascertain whether and when a road diet occurred. Now, fast forward a little bit. So this year, we have identified a total of 28 road diets, mostly from the recommended segments in the previous report. They're included in your attached summary. So we're looking for committee members to provide comments, to review the summary table for accuracy, and anything we're missing, any information that looks wrong to you. So we've begun the pre- and post-crash comparison of road diet segments that have at least 3 full years of post-construction data available. We excluded data from the year after the change plus a year following. So we have identified and provided information on 16 out of 28 segments and in their process and are in the process of analyzing if any of these segments have experienced safety improvements. So we've included the summary sheets and a map, which I'll show you next slide, for each segment analyzed. The remaining segments that have not been analyzed are too new for this report, and will be added when data becomes available. Like I said, also included with this memo is a map of the 16 road diet segments we have analyzed. We plan to dive into these segments during the full report, dive a little deeper during the full report to get a little more nuanced understanding of what the data shows us. So the report will be produced over the next couple months with the expectation that a final report will be shared with the entire committees prior to the August meetings. So what we're asking today for the committee is for you to review the table of road diet segments to ensure accuracy and completeness. Review the summary sheets for the 16 road diet segments undergoing a crash comparison. Let us know if A, you believe any of the segments meet the criteria for this analysis, and or B, you see any information that looks like that. And then lastly, just review the report outlined in your attachment, just the outline of the report, and let us know if you have any comments or ideas regarding the structure of the report. If you could provide us any comment or question before the middle of June, that would give us enough time to turn that around. Anybody have any questions? Yeah.
Yeah, I got a couple. Assuming that having a road segment in your community as identified for the road diet qualifies that community for funding to do something about it?
You're asking is are four-lane roads eligible for funding through AMATS if they're going to do a road diet? Is that what you're asking?
More or less, they would be in favor of it if there was funding to assist in implementing the road diet, I guess. Maybe your question is better.
I always have to think about it through the terms of the AMATS process, which typically when they get to us, so road diets really have been, I think, originally kind of led via the communities that have had these low ADT, high number of lane roads. And, you know, Akron has been a leader on that. And so typically when they come to us, they're applying, a lot of times it'll just be a resurfacing job, and they're allowed to stripe however they want after the striping. So in cases where it's a true reconstruction, which is where our STBG dollars would come in, they do get bonus points for adding elements of complete streets, which typically adds is elements of a road diet. So you know, you're adding bike lanes, you're reducing lanes, you're not focused on expanding the lanes. And so therefore, they're able to get money through AMATS for a job like that. And so because what we've seen, some of these road diets have been just local initiatives that they did when they repaved them. Some of them have been helped that are funded through AMATS. And I think what we wanted to try to decide or figure out locally is that having the kind of impact we think it's going to have, or has it had the impact of safety that, you know, the feds are saying, hey, at a high level scale, we think these are effective. And what we want to see locally, are we getting those same kind of results? And then if we aren't, maybe it's because the road diets aren't done the right way, or maybe there's elements of the road diet that we're doing that we could be doing better. I know that was a long-winded way to answer. Probably not.
I sound more like Hadley, actually.
Yeah.
In terms of a long-winded.
Yeah.
The other question, I think you've answered it, Curtis, is I wondered if any communities are pushing back on the road diets because they like it the way it is. But it's more or less locally generated.
Yeah, it's local. I mean, I will say that there's a category of roadway projects right now that politically has become more unpopular, and this is one of them. So this roundabouts, there's bike and ped infrastructure. There is an element politically that is less in favor of seeing those things being continually funded through the federal program, which is why I think Matt kind of alluded to with the Safe Streets for All, is we just don't know what programs are going to come out of the next transportation bill. And there's a very high likelihood that, you know, even programs like our TASA program, which is our transition alternatives, could just be gone. And it's all just one big pot or something like that. So, but there is more of this idea or kind of, and it's, we're seeing more roadway treatments starting to get politically controversial than, say, they would have been, I feel like, even 7 or 8 years ago. You know, it's not just about safety, it's about you don't like this type of project anymore. And that's a newer phenomenon.
Well, I've read some areas outside of the Amherst area, there is pushback on, you know.
Yeah. And there's a lot of people that really believe, like, you know, hey, I should be able to get to point A, point B as fast as possible, and why are you taking the lane away? Because that slows things down. They're not necessarily arguing it from it's more safe. It's just I prioritize speed over safety. So, just got to figure that out.
Thank you, Mr. Miller. As you mentioned, if you could get any comments over to him by June, it would be greatly appreciated on that. That was discussion only, so we'll move right into resolutions. Item A, Ms. Prater.
Thank you. So amendment number 11 cancels funding for one project and adds 4 recently approved projects to the TIP. The canceling funding is not actually canceling funding, it's just canceling funding from this TIP. We're actually moving the project out into the future for the sponsor. So the construction phase actually moves out into 2030, which is outside the current TIP. As we develop the next TIP, that will appear in the next TIP. So, and then the other 4 projects that we're approving were those that we approved funding for back in February of this year. So they just finally got PID numbers, and we're just adding them to the TIP because they fall into the cycle. So, and we will be starting to develop the next TIP beginning this coming fall, and then that will be approved next year around this time. So, and that will go out to 31. Anyone have any questions?
Seeing none, do we have a motion?
Bowling, move to approve.
Second, Collins.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item B, Mr. Gardner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Resolution 2026-10 reapproves our TIP and our 25-2050 Regional Transportation Plan, which were both approved last year, but we are required to reapprove both of those plans every year. So that's what Resolution 2026-10 does, and to also reaffirm that both of those documents meet requirements for air quality conformity. Are there any questions?
Seeing none, do we have a motion?
Chair Rittman. Sarah, second.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Moving on to item C, Mr. Gardner.
Thanks, sir. Resolution 2026-11 is a self-certification resolution that we're required to pass every year as well. It certifies that AMATS is doing everything under the federal requirements and under the supervision of ODOT. So the staff is requesting approval of resolution 2026-11.
Seeing no questions, do we have a motion?
So moved, Trustowski.
Sarah, second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries. Moving on to item D, Ms. Rydell.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Attachment 6D is the Connecting Communities Planning Grant recommendation for the 8th round of funding. Applications were made available on the MS website on February 13th, with a budget of $100,000. 7 applications were received by the March 20th deadline. The Connecting Communities Planning Grant Task Force met in April to discuss the applications. The task force determined that the 2 applications that best met the goals of the program are Monroe Falls Trails Master Plan and Rittman's Active Transportation Plan. Therefore, AMS staff is requesting approval of 2 planning grants, Monroe Falls Trails Master Plan and Rittman's Active Transportation Plan. Are there any questions?
Thank you. Seeing no questions, this does require a motion.
Clearing. Stowe.
Hadley, second.
Motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries.
Thank you, Emma.
Item E again, Ms. Rydell.
Thank you. In February, the Policy Committee approved a draft of the Fiscal Year 2027 Transportation Planning Work Program and Budget, which was then submitted to ODOT for review. After receiving comments from ODOT, the major elements of the plan remain the same. Attachment 6T, Resolution 2026-13, is the final Transportation Planning Work Program and Budget for Fiscal Year 2027, which begins on July 1st of this year. AMS staff is requesting approval. Can I answer any questions?
Seeing no questions, this does require a motion.
Pulling move to approve.
There, second.
Motion and second. Do we have any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed?
Thank you.
That resolution carries. Last resolution on the agenda this afternoon is item F, Mr. Muller. Oh, Mr. Gardner. Sorry.
Attachment 6F, Resolution 2026-14 is a TIP amendment to add funds for Metro and PARTA. In February, ODOT awarded Metro $1.7 million and PARTA $288,000 in funding from their Ohio Transit Partnership Program. These funds are flexed over from highway to transit use. This amendment will add funds for the purchase of bus shelters and various bus maintenance equipment. All projects are scheduled in fiscal year 2027. The staff is requesting approval of this resolution. Are there any questions?
Seeing no questions, do we have a motion?
Sure, Rittman.
Second, Collins.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Item F will carry. Moving on to other business.
Only other business is this is now our summer recess in a way. We won't be back together until August, so I hope everyone has a safe, healthy, happy summer and enjoy the sunshine once we finally get it. So thank you.
Hey, Mr. Baker, do we have a motion to adjourn today's meeting?
Second, Collins.
All right. Any discussion? Meeting's adjourned. Thank you.